he said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Are you happy to be alive?
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Why is it that every parent alive wants their children to be happy? Do you think anybody is really happy?
Momentarily, yes.
That's right. That's a good one.
Because happiness is happenings.
Happenings. And so in the happening, in the moment that you're enjoying something special or having a good time, you're happy, right?
Right. And then life throws you a curveball and bang.
So I guess if we want to be so-called happy, we have to create a lot of positive happenings.
Very good.
To keep us up.
Absolutely. Yes,
so,
we do.
So then, but we've got to get through the hard times too.
Well, isn't it like the yin and the yang? You can't know happiness unless you know sorrow. I mean, I've heard that little song and dance as well.
Yeah, in order to know night, you need to know the day, up and down, and all those dichotomies or contrasting views and ideas, things.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Well, anyway, I'm happy to be here.
So am I.
Yeah. And the first thing that's on our list is you. So what's cooking?
Ooh, I like to be on your list. What's cooking? Fish head soup. Yikes. I know it doesn't sound that hot, fish head soup, but it certainly does taste good. Now, the reason that I made fish head soup, because the salmon fish run is in British Columbia right now, and the salmon is abundant. And apparently, I just learned about this, I didn't know, but I guess it's been going on for eons, that every 4 years, there's about 15 million Fraser River sockeye salmon that return to their home in BC after 2 years roaming the broad Pacific.
That's very cool. Yeah.
So those adult sockeye that manage to avoid a host of predators, to include fishermen, will battle the turbulent Fraser River and Thompson River about 500 kilometers into the heart of southern British Columbia, and they'll fight everything in their search for the streams that gave them life 4 years earlier. So it's every 4 years, this big salmon run. So there is salmon everywhere. And a friend of mine caught some and was going to throw away these fish heads. And I just couldn't resist the temptation to take the fish heads home and make some soup and a nice broth. And that's what I did. And you were on the receiving end, weren't you?
I just had some of your wonderful fish head soup yesterday. It was just absolutely delicious. I like it because it's got all that gunk and stuff from the head. And that's where the true good nutrition is. It's in the organs. It's in the brain. It's in the vascular tissue. We normally only eat muscle meat or skeletal muscle from animals. Mm-hmm. But the natives all ate everything else. And that was where the really good stuff was. That's what kept them alive.
Right.
Nobody eats organs and entrails and brains anymore today.
I know.
We're afraid of them.
Yeah.
Kids
well,
have
just
never.
The sound of it is.
Kids don't eat liver and hearts and things like that.
Well, it was a bit disturbing when you looked into the pot and you see all those fish heads bubbling up. I know I did that to Ruby. I said, Ruby, come here. Let me show you what I'm making for dinner. Lifted up the pot. And she goes, oh, I wasn't expecting that. But Ruby's pretty cool because she eats just about everything that we eat. She eats the same as we do. And so she knew it would be very healthful. And the heads really do make a healthy and delicious broth. And it's, like you said, it's very healing. And this recipe is an Indian recipe, right? But you can also make it like a hot and sour soup as well. So I'd clean the fish heads. They were already clean, but I just rinsed them with water. And then in filtered water, I added the fish heads and I brought them to a boil. And then I simmered them, I guess, about 4 hours. And once I cooled them, I picked off all the meat from the heads and threw the bones and the carcass away, right? So everything was in there. And then I added to the broth Mrs. Dash, some Bragg's aminos, some crushed chilies, some chopped carrots, celery, and onion. And then I simmered it for about an hour. And then I added in the salmon meat that I'd picked off the bone. Now, you can add whatever kind of fish to this. You can add more salmon. I added some bassa fish. I added some scallops and some prawns and some freshly squeezed lemon juice. And then I let that simmer for about 20 minutes. You don't need a long time to simmer these. But, yeah, you can add whatever type of fish you want. You can make it hotter or spicier. You can make it like a hot and sour soup. There's a multitude of different things you can do with this, but I just wanted to share this with you. And I also will let you know that you can freeze this, because sometimes you've got all this, any kind of soup that I make, sometimes there's a little bit left over in the pot and everybody's OD'd on all this homemade soup for a couple of days. So I just freeze it and then I take it out a few weeks later and it's like it's brand spanking new soup. It tastes delicious. So that's my fish head soup.
I like the meat that's inside the cheeks.
The cheeks, yeah.
That's and then I like the chowder kind of idea because I like multiple kind of mixes of like the shrimp and the scallops and the prawns. And it all mixes like a fish chowder.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially on sort of a cold, rainy day.
Yeah.
Absolutely
mm-hmm.
delicious. And also, let's focus on the fact that homemade speaks to so much. I mean, don't buy canned soup. Stay away from canned soup. As a matter of fact, stop buying everything that's got a nutrition facts label.
Yeah.
You know, when you buy a head of broccoli, there's no label on it that gives you the nutrition facts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the simplest ways to teach people how to buy food.
Right.
Don't buy food that's got a nutrition fact label on it.
Well, what's interesting is we used to always say you go around the perimeter of the grocery store, right? That's how you shop. You don't go through the aisles unless you need detergent and toilet paper, that kind of thing. But they're getting wise now. So you go around the perimeter and they've got canned foods and packaged foods and things like that. So
oh, yeah.
They're wising up to that.
Oh, yeah. They're trying to stay ahead of everything or at least catch up to it. Anything to manipulate and set us against the grain of health and wellness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's a great recipe. So also with just what's going on in our own lives right now and some of the stuff that we're working on and this whole issue of corporate food production and the industrial food complex, we need to start shopping for real food and work together in the kitchen and participate. And just the idea of sitting down as a family and having food together
right.
is a lost art.
Oh, I
know. No one's doing it anymore. And
yes.
I can really see that that's one of the fabrics of family, mm-hmm. is sitting down and eating together. I was reading some stuff about Europeans the other day and how important it is for them to shop, not just once a week, but three times a day.
Yeah.
You know, when you need food, you go and shop for it. Mm-hmm. Everything's fresh. I think that's the key.
Well, they have just like those small refrigerators. Well, when I lived there for quite a few years, we just had like a refrigerator that was the size of a hotel refrigerator. So you couldn't pack up a whole bunch of stuff in there, a week's worth of groceries. You had to shop maybe every other day. You had to shop. So everything's fresh. And they had all these little markets. It wasn't one huge, great, big grocery store. They had a meat store. They had a chicken store. They had fresh fruit store, fresh vegetable store. They had a separate cheese store, a separate bread store. So it was really cool. I really like that. I want to go back to Europe.
Yeah, no doubt. The other thing about soups is that, and I've seen you do this, you just take whatever's in the fridge that's near its end, and you just shove it in the soup.
Yeah.
And then you've got a really delicious, you can add some spices if you like it spicy.
And
I like to add those chili peppers.
Yeah. Yeah, you can just add like some pot barley, or I'll add some lentils, or you know, some wild rice to it, or you can just, I mean, there's a multitude of things that you can do with soup.
Sometimes, I don't think that you can really be well if you eat out a lot and if you buy everything through a drive-thru. You just can't. You have to go buy real food. You have to go out of your way to do it. And
well,
it's
remember
not convenient.
When I used to work with these as a national spokesperson for a couple of different sports nutrition companies, and I was so excited when I got to go on tour. So because for one whole week, I got to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner out. Because, you know, I cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, 7 days a week. And I was like so excited I didn't have to cook for a whole week. Well, I'll tell you, after about the fourth day, I was like, enough is enough. I could feel my eyes were swollen up because of the salt and the bad oils. Even though you order healthy food, there's stuff going on in that food that's not healthy.
I don't
healthy.
Trust restaurant food.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't like to be served.
Yeah.
It, to me, it's a kind of a form of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to buy my stuff and eat it. And it's very cost effective. It's very hands-on and it's very real. It's almost like gardening or farming. You've got your hands on the stuff.
Yeah.
Even though we're not even close to that.
Oh, and, no.
You know, I look forward to that. You know, I know that, you know, that's something that you and I want to do is we want to go now to Europe and maybe find a farm and work as an extra hand on the farm and learn how to grow olives or take care of the animals. That'd be very cool.
Well, for sure, you know, and we do the best that we possibly can do here living in Vancouver. We do the best that we can do for what we have accessible, right? So we try to buy local and we try to do like a macrobiotic, like what's in season. And so that's, you know.
Yeah, just don't buy the crap.
Yeah.
Don't buy garbage. No. Don't eat it. No. Because not only are you supporting the enemy, but you're destroying yourself.
And, you know, you really sometimes, unless you grow it yourself in your backyard, you don't really know what you're getting. Is it organic? Is it not organic? Is it GMO? Is it not GMO? Even though they say it is or isn't, I don't know.
I just think that canned boxed food is contaminated.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't eat it because I believe it's contaminated.
Yeah. I'm talking about the fresh fruit. Fruits and
vegetables. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Too.
Well, you buy a pear or a peach.
Yeah, they say it's organic. Is it? You know, is or was alive is organic, right?
So, well, people out there, you got to read The Omnivore's Dilemma to really understand what we now know is called the industrial organic complex. Organic potato chips? Hello.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't it doesn't matter funny? Whether it's organic. It's harmful.
Right. When we go to these trade shows, these great, big, huge nutritional trade shows and Everything's got probiotics in it now. You've got chocolate bars with probiotics. You've got milk with probiotics. You've got
potato chips. Well, we're seeing a lot of foods on television now. They're taking something that isn't fit to eat. They're mixing it with something that everyone thinks is healthy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You buy the junk thinking that it's doing you some good.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't. You know what? The negative aspects of the junk outweigh anything that's added to it that might have a shred of value.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's easy to get conned into that.
No kidding. Again, science, education, that's the key. Okay, so who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Ms. Lauren Plaviak. We are very proud to have had Lauren be our 100th special guest interview for SNU. And Lauren has been around CHI since the very beginning, hasn't she?
Yeah, the beginning of time, the beginning of the world, the beginning of the universe.
The beginning of chi.
Yeah, chi. The energy that flows, and how old is that? So, yeah, you know, things start with an idea, and then they culminate, and then you meet the right people, and you take action, and before you know it, you've got something that's real, and it's working for you. And then you have to continuously pay attention and focus and expand it and direct it towards a specific end because it's your thing. That's why I love doing what I do, because it's my thing. I get to do what I want. I think that's
always about you, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's always about me. And every person inside of themselves, it should always be about them.
Exactly. And it is always about them. Although they wouldn't ever admit that it's always about them. They say they're doing it for something else, right?
For the good of mankind.
Yeah. They help the old lady across the street, right?
Yeah.
But so they say, well, I did it for her. Well, you know what? If she went across the street and could have got hit, but you didn't help her, you'd feel bad. So it's you did it for yourself.
Oh, yeah. It's all about emotions.
Yeah.
Well,
now, a lot of people might not agree with that. So I don't even, you know, every time I open my mouth, I work on Facebook now. And I'll tell you, every now and then, I just feel like making a comment. Boy, people get on my case, I tell you. People are so into this, anything that rocks the boat, you know, this emotional. They get so emotional over something stupid. Like, what was this last one? On Vogue magazine, Lady Gaga was naked, but she had meat wrapped around her. And, you know, people are getting so disgusted. And, oh, my gosh. And I'm just going, it's just for marketing. That's all it's about. And it's about getting people to rattle their cage and people to talk about it. And that's all it's about. You know, mission accomplished. Vogue did, and Lady Gaga, the mission was accomplished for the fact that we're talking about it right now. But a lot of people couldn't agree with that. Well, I'll never buy that magazine again and blah, 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 blah. It's just like, get over it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, if you're purpose driven and you're really busy, you don't really have a lot of time and energy to focus on stuff like that.
And anyway, about Lauren Plaviak, let's get back to our special guest.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was fantastic. And Lauren has such a calming wealth of knowledge. She talks and she makes you so relaxed when she talks to you. And I really enjoyed her outlook on life and love and self. She says, be true to yourself and listen to yourself. And don't try to save the world. Save yourself. You got to love that. I would love to have had Lauren as my school teacher. Lauren is a Montessori school teacher, and she gave us a paramount perspective on schooling children. But she's so calm. I'm sure she's a very, very popular school teacher.
Oh, yeah. She's just very cool all around.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that everybody needs to go to Africa.
Yes.
Because what a transforming process she went through. I did it myself, you know, when I traveled around the world and went to some pretty bizarre way out places. And the culture shock isn't going there. It's coming back
yep.
with what you've got and what you've learned.
Yes.
And now you can't relate to the fabric of life where you left. It's the same. Nobody's made any progress. They're still doing yep. exactly the same thing, yep. but you've expanded your horizons.
Mm-hmm.
You've learned and grown. And now you're actually starting to rationally determine inside your own mind for yourself what's going on. And there's a lot of circles where people feel really uncomfortable with that kind of thinking.
Yes.
They don't want you to disturb their peace.
Right. Well, I remember when Lauren did move, she was teaching in Africa, in Kenya, and she would mail us a letter. Can you believe that? She'd actually write us a physical letter, and we'd open it up, and it would be pages and pages, and all the stories that she wrote were fantastic, and she's a writer herself, and it was just wonderful. Just she was sitting there drinking her coffee, looking at the monkeys in the tree. I would just sit and read her letters, and I would feel like I was in Africa. So I just want to say thank you very much, Lauren, for your special guest interview. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good to connect with her, and I look forward to seeing her really soon. Okay, let's move on now to our CHI Highway to Health update. What's happening?
Highway to Health update. Well, summer's over and it was sure cute. Well, summer's not over actually till the 20th of September or 21st of September, depending on the calendar. And it was really cute to see our little granddaughter, first day of kindergarten. And it kind of brings back memories because Deanna, the mom, she was really upset about it. And I'd heard this from a few other people about their kids going to school for the very first time, how upset the parents get. The kids are all excited, but the parents are upset. But I do remember the kids going to school for the first time, and it's a change. You know, your kids are growing up now and they're not going to be around 24/7. And, you know, it was fun to see the kids going to school.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if you got pregnant right now, that kid would not be going into the public education system.
No, if I got pregnant right now, there would be no more Corey Holly. That's all I know about that.
Yeah. Well, let's say that somehow a miracle took place, like Abraham and Sarah. Remember, she was like 100.
The Immaculate Conception. That's what it would have to be.
Okay. So let's say that we have a baby. Now, how are you going to educate that child? And I think that putting a kid into the public education system is going to ruin them, is going to destroy their free thinking ability.
Yeah.
It's a prison.
Yeah.
And they are going to have to spend the rest of their life trying to figure out things that they should have learned in the first 12 years.
Well, for me, what I've always said, school is about reading, writing, and arithmetic. And today, what I would do is I would homeschool. You wanted me to homeschool, and I said, no, because I thought I couldn't do it. I just thought I couldn't do it. I didn't have what it took or the patience. But today, if I was to have had another child, I would homeschool.
Yeah, with
absolutely.
The internet.
Absolutely.
And then I would take the child and I would travel all over the world.
I wouldn't even think twice
about
it.
And I would rely on myself and my own wits and my own ability. And with the support that you can get through distance learning on the internet, you could very easily do a job of 10,000 times better.
Yeah.
And then not have to deal with all of the limitations of thought and thinking. Because if you put your kid in the public education system, they're going to end up wanting to go into the military, or they're going to end up wanting to be something like an employee and a slave for the rest of their lives. Because that's what it's designed to do. I think entrepreneurship is something that you can't teach in the school system because the whole system would collapse. You know, we're not designed to be anything but free. And of course, I would lather them, as I did with our kids, in the instruction of fitness and nutrition science.
Speaking of me homeschooling a child, which ain't going to happen, it's been 240 days since I had my period. Just thought I'd share that with everybody. I mean,
Yippee!
This countdown for me, I mean, this is a major ordeal in a woman's life is going through this. And I've talked to a lot of women. I've done some reading and research on it. And I'm fine. I don't have any problems at all. The only thing is, you know, at night. It gets a little hot in the bed. And it's not because you're in the bed with me, Corey. No, that's not why it's hot. But I do get a little warm. But other than that, I haven't got any symptoms that I notice. No headaches, no cramping, no mood swings. As far as I know, I don't have any mood swings.
Well, nor should you. And of course, I don't want to make anyone out there feel as if I'm attacking them. But if you're really fit and you're lean and you're well nourished and you eat clean food and you don't eat the junk that ruins you, like the dairy products and the bread and the fast food, then you're not going to experience a lot of the problems that so many women experience going through menopause. I think that basically what they're experiencing is the effects of the treatment that they have put themselves through their whole life. And now it's payback.
Right, right.
You know, how many women are actually lean and functional and really, really fit as they move through their menopause?
Well, I have a few friends, actually, who've had no children. And they're all getting their uteruses taken out and their ovaries.
Endometriosis
and,
is so common.
Cysts. And it's just unbelievable, you know. I think it's good to have one baby, to let a woman go through that process. I think that's important.
Yeah,
to
well, let's one. Make sure that you want the baby. Let's, you know, let's hope that you're in a good state to actually...
Right.
Facilitate that process.
Absolutely, yeah.
For a lot of people, what I'm seeing and learning is that, well, I know myself, I was a complete accident, you know?
You certainly
My
were.
Conception was a complete accident.
So I was too. That's what I was told.
But then when it happens, if it is an accident, how do the people respond? How does the father and the mother respond? I'm telling you, if most kids knew their origin and how chaotic their parents' lives were at the time, they'd be surprised to really get this insight because most parents never tell their kids the truth about the fact that they weren't wanted, that it was an accident.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't an accident, then how did it come to be?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So you and
my goodness.
So you and I were just two accidents waiting to happen.
A sordid, slippery past we all have,
I know.
It's unbelievable. But let's talk about this.
Okay, so the next
lecture
one.
That I'm going to be doing, this seminar.
The 7 Nutritional Lies lecture.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to call it the 7 million nutritional lies because I've been lied to my whole life about everything. And as I start to take another look at reality and begin to accept it as it is, I realize that almost everything that I was told growing up was, in fact, a lie. And so I'm able to construct my own concept of reality here, and I feel very comfortable doing that. And one of the things that I like doing is comparing what is with what could be. Not how it should be, but what could be. So could I create something better for me? So I can be fit or not, and which choice is going to be better? Is there an evidence-based outcome to assimilate in my mind so that that helps motivate me to do something with a certain end in mind? So if we look at the food, we have to agree, if we're at all educated in nutrition science, we have to accept the fact that I would say at least 90% of our food supply is contaminated and we shouldn't eat any of it. And the best thing that we can do personally ourselves is to stop buying it because it ruins us and it ruins the land, it ruins the ecology, it ruins biodiversity. Agriculture has done nothing good for the planet, really, except for the, I guess, rotational farmer who moves his animals to one plot of land and lets his crops grow at a certain season and then lets them return to the soil and all that. But, you know, that's not how the planet is functioning and cycling right now. So the 7 nutritional lies really are quite simple, and they have to do with milk, number one, number two, infant formula, number three, breakfast cereals, number four, bread, number five, refined sugar, number six, margarine, and number seven, that food alone provides us with everything we need. So in fact, the opposite is true. These are all lies. And I want you to know that I don't like hypocrisy. I don't like hypocrites. It doesn't turn me on. So anything that I teach is something that I do. If I teach people not to do it, it's because I don't do it. If I do teach people to do something, it's because I do it. And I've got to have science behind me to back me up, or I won't do it. I need evidence. So the reason that I don't eat all of these things, like I eat bread if it's sprouted and it's not a staple. What I'm saying is don't make bread a staple. It's loaded with sodium. Bread is dead. It just fattens
and
you up like a cow.
And there is life after sandwiches.
And you know what the other thing, too, is that these things are all connected. Why do people use margarine? Because they got to put it on
their bread. Right.
And what do they put on their bread? Luncheon meat, you know, and condiments and everything else they put inside of it is contaminated also.
Yeah.
You know, what did they say in that Food Incorporated movie we watched? That there's like 47,000 varieties of food now in the average supermarket.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Most of them are unedible.
And there's only like 8 companies altogether. Was it four?
Primary corporations right. That control 90% of the food.
Yeah, isn't that amazing when you've got 47,000 different products?
And almost all the farmers have been driven off the land, and the only farmers that remain are the ones that are agreeable to play the game in the industrial food complex. Yep. So they don't have ethics or morals either. They're only in it for money. Everyone's only doing everything they're doing for money these days.
Well, even like you look at Tom's toothpaste, which is a natural health toothpaste, it's owned by Colgate.
Yes.
So, you know, like...
So if you buy from then you're supporting the enemy, so to speak. So what do you do?
I don't know. What do you do? You do the best you can do.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do?
Yeah, but the best you can do for you is not to eat this refined, fractionated, dead, sterile food. I don't even care, ultimately, if it's negative for the planet or the world. I'm just thinking about myself.
Yes.
Me. I don't put it in because it's destructive to me.
Well, when you say you don't want to save the world, I mean, save your own world. The world inside you, the world you live around, right? Like, I mean, your world is your immediate family, me, our friends. That's our world, right?
Well, I like to operate as a collective. I mean, I'm concerned about the streams and the rivers and the oceans.
Yes,
I'm concerned about the air I breathe. I don't want to ruin the planet.
No.
But it's pretty hard not to. Even if you try not to, if you walk up and down a cement road, you're contributing towards what it took to build that road, you know, to be... truly removed from everything, I suppose you'd have to go out in the bush and live like a caveman.
Well, I mean, if you are buying whole food, then you are eating a lot of fruits and vegetables. So if they did throw that into the ocean, then it's going to get eaten, right? Not like a plastic bottle or a box.
Yeah, I like this Tibetan burial that I was talking about with a friend of mine the other day. In Tibet, they don't bury you and they don't cremate you. They just throw your body out into an open field and then let the vultures and the birds rip it apart and eat it. Now, that's
what
I call really going back to nature.
Yeah.
So that's how I want to go. I don't want to be buried or cremated. I want to be consumed by the environment and then donate myself to the furtherance of every other living thing that's consuming me.
Okay, I'll remember that.
And then I will be in them. And they are in me.
Exactly. That's
see?
Exactly.
That is the circle
That's
of
the
life.
Circle of life.
So let's be mindful, people, that the only way to truly be well is first and foremost to want to be well. And if you truly want to be well, you need to find out how to get well if you don't know how already. Because there's a lot of people that know and they're not doing, and that's a whole other issue. We're going to save that for another SNU.
Yeah.
But you need to apply the information. There are rules to the game. When you play a game, there are rules. And remember, the purpose of the game is to score goals, not to win. But a winner is declared, and that's the person with the most goals. You see, there's a subtle difference that most people don't understand.
Yeah.
This relates to how
people
they live
get
their lives.
Really irate about that when you talk about that. We've been to parties and things like that and having this discussion. People get really upset and annoyed with you.
Yep.
It's all about winning. It's all about winning.
Yeah.
You know, well,
if it is all about winning, take a look at yourself in the mirror and itemize yourself biologically. If you're sick, if you're obese, if you have some type of chronic illness or ailment, you're not winning. You're not winning the game of life. You're losing, you see?
Right.
So if you're so concerned about winning, why don't you put all your energy into the sport of living and try and win at that?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, you're going to come to terms with what the rules are. And the rules are based on science, not superstition and not religion. It's just pure science.
Well, then it goes back to, am I happy? Happiness is happenings. So if something is happening great in your body and you feel good, you're going to be happy. And the happier person that you are, you're going to attract happy people around you as well, like-minded individuals. That is a win-win situation. Now that's winning, right?
Yeah. Very good, dear. Okay, so with that being said, let's close her down with your final word.
My final word is by Miguel de Cervantes. Too much sanity may be madness. And maddest of all, to see life as it is and not as it should be.